you know what they say, behind every unhappy podcaster, there's someone from the Joe Budden Network that's unhappy. Yeah, so I actually kind of came across this, where this old podcast that used to be on the Joe Budden Network, they're starting to see how the thing is without, you know, someone else making you do it and paying for shit to operate. But yeah, apparently Mandy and Bridget, they had the show called See the Thing Is on the Joe Budden Network. Probably about, I think, a couple years ago is when they left. He basically gave them like a whole year to be on his network, his YouTube channel, and all that good stuff. And they basically got a head start. They got his whole audience, which at the time was like over 900,000 subscribers, if I remember correctly. And look, I never let shit on podcasts because, look, I'm not in a position to shit on podcasts. But objectively speaking, no one really enjoyed the show that much. And look, I'm not the target audience. It's going to be mostly a female demographic show, which is fine. But they were given this opportunity where basically they were started off on a platform that every single podcast on this earth would die for, it be so appreciative for. And then, you know, things aren't really going well. They want to do their own thing, be free. And they actually own the show too, which is kind of crazy. So they finally separated from the network, went their own way, and basically just did the podcast on their own channel, whatever. And, you know, it's never really obviously hit the level of when it was on the 900 plus thousand subscriber platform. And now I think they actually ended the podcast. You know, they're quote unquote going separate ways, when in reality they just didn't want to keep doing it. They don't want to keep putting in the work to develop their own audience. And typically the way things are, when things aren't working out on some that you started and want to do, if things aren't going in the right direction, the tendency is always to point the finger and blame all these outside factors. And because it can never be, you know, the people involved's fault, you know, the one constant figure no matter where they are. But they're basically coming out blaming Joe Budden for not really supporting their show when they were there or paying them. He's like, well, why do I have to, like, well, I'm not really paying you because you own the show, so your revenue is based off what you bring in. He's like, even though he funded apparently Pasta and Wine and Rory, I know this is so inside JPP, but inside the JPP world, everyone knows Rory going to their calendar wine box of pasta. Oh, that must be nice. Oh, just free pasta and wine, huh? Okay. But yeah, so essentially they're coming off as kind of entitled brats. And it's still this blaming everything for not, quote-unquote, working out in your favor. And I think it's just kind of just interesting. You know, I'm not in a point-the-finger, drama-filled type of guy. But I guess they made a few horrible decisions. All right. Well, that's one of those you have to get that she does another podcast called Horrible Decisions, which I've never listened to because I don't need to. You know what the show is about. It's spelled W-H-O-R-E. So, yep. But yeah, look, I think the whole point of that, and speaking on a more general sense, but I guess just industry stuff, is that it seems like people want these. We have this obsession. And the thing about with Mandy and them is that they always talk about the owning business and all this stuff about business, 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 owning everything. But yet, the way they act, they want to just really have something to get paid from, but they don't want to be in charge of reinvesting, re-putting their own sweat and equity into it, and accepting the result that may come from that. Because sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. People want the protection of insurance, of someone taking care of their expenses, taking care of the daily costs, taking care of the upkeep costs to run a show of that magnitude. But people don't want to keep putting their own money. The people just want to keep using other people's money to keep their business, quote unquote, and dream alive, you know. And I think it kind of, people sometimes expose themselves when they talk about things. And they were talking about how, oh, he didn't, all we asked for was for three guests, Kevin Samuels, Lotto, and I think Jasmine Sullivan. It's like, well, you weren't going to get Kevin Samuels on your show. Like, Kevin Samuels isn't going to go on a show that's that significantly less than his from a viewer subscriber standpoint. Like, the JVP was at least at a, there's a chance, like, okay, a slightly different audience, but still his audience, and it's on a similar base level where it helps him, you know, at that time. Like, going on your show, it does nothing for him. And he has to listen to you justify lifestyles and stuff that he doesn't, I just didn't really coincide with. So, yeah. And just, like, that early in the game, thinking you want these big-ass guests that Joe Budden had to work for years and years and years to get people, the biggest names, to come on the show. Like, he had names early on. But, you know, it's like you said, you build it, they will come. Not relying on everyone else to build your show. Ignoring the fact that the constant figures are going to be there every show. Or you guys, which at the time was three, but then went down to two. I don't know. And essentially, they focused on everything but the actual thing. And see, the thing is they focus on the wrong thing. Hey. So I guess the moral of all that is focus on what's important and not relying on other people to supply the entertainment for your show. You know? And you know, you can see how what happened after they left the show and what happened after. Or before and after, you know. Even when given the golden opportunity of that platform, they didn't take advantage of it and blamed the person for giving them that type of audience, for them not getting a bigger audience. So, you know, because I'll tell you this, I don't think they would have ended the show the way they did if they would have took advantage of that, elevated their audience, and maintained a profitable audience. Because, you know, look, let's be honest. Like, they're in it for the business aspect and the money part. It's not really about the love for it. Because someone that's willing to just drop and switch things that quickly, they weren't really in it for that. They were in it more for the potential revenue aspect of it, especially. And when the genesis of why you want to do this isn't because you love the craft or want to get good at it, and the number one priority is the financial part, it's just not going to, typically it's just not going to work out. But yeah. And by the way, because I know I've gone way too long, I fucked up the last episode. I haven't aired it yet, but I fucked up the recording. I tried to do some fancy cool stuff, and this is why you should hire people to do your stuff. But, you know, had to be able to afford it. I barely was able to afford the camera when I got this bitch years ago. But hey, you know, build your credit, because the credit is due. Just when you think you've paid off all your credit stuff, and some random ass hospital bills, like, hey, we checked your balls once for $340. It's like, I don't even remember you asked me to check my balls. I don't even remember me going there for the intention. I went there for just to get some blood work. That's like $30-$40 for the copayment. And they're like, hey, since you're here, you know, can we check out something? Like, sure. Yeah, here's $340 sent to collections. Well, you know what? Collect these nuts next time. At least jerk me off and collect my sperm count and save it or something. Jesus, I'm getting old. But yeah. collection. But yeah, shit, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, I fucked up the, I decided to do some nice fancy camera settings and take it off 4K, put on HD. You know, I thought maybe save some battery and save some data and stuff. And all I did was fuck up the recording part where it automatically won't record in one thing after a certain time. It'll do it two separate things. So I don't know. Maybe it was a one-off. Who knows? But this one should be all right. I put it back, I think, on the regular setting. So, but yeah. But speaking of regular setting, guys, Magic Mind, yes, the sponsor of today's episode. Shit, I see the empty bottle right there, but fuck, the one I drank before the show, but damn it, it's kind of out of reach. But yeah, Magic Mind, a great nootropic drink, a productivity shot. Oh, I don't duck nobody but vitamins and minerals. But good thing you have Magic Mind. great matcha. It has a nice peach. It's a very peachy flavor. And typically, I'm not a big peach guy. Well, I am in certain aspects. But peach flavor things, typically not. But this one goes down smooth. Real smooth. And tell James that his girl is a big giant peach. and any guy named James. Trust me. I've never met a guy named James who had a girl with a, you know, small peach. So, let me impeach your peachiness. All right, I'm struggling here. Welcome to Georgia. Georgia. which apparently I didn't know that. There's a lot of rumors about Jamie Foxx being on the DL. But you know what? Who gives a fuck? Any man that could play Ray Charles, all the power, man. I think I'm not gonna get into what. But anyway, Magic Mind. Yeah, guys. Discount code. Jesus. Ooh, I am off today. Discount code will be below the episode description. Focus. Focus into the camera. Discount code will be under the episode description. OffNBeat20. OffNBeat20 will be the discount code. You'll get 56% off the first subscription and then 20% off anything after that. You know, the details will be in the details, guys. Just read it. Support the show. It's a great product. I drink it every day. Regardless of how it may sound now, it's just been a weird couple. I had a lot of Wingstop last night. I legitimately ate like 24 wings probably, it felt like. Fries and... And you know what? It didn't even fill me up. This is what I'm talking about. I get these fucking takeout foods and it doesn't do anything for me. I could cook 24 wings at home and I would be full after 12. I get 24 wings from Wingstop, dipping in ranch, all these salty ass fries. And nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. But you know it's not nothing? Magic Mind. Support the show. Try it out, guys. All right, guys. Now back to the episode. Hey. All right, guys. Welcome to episode 268 of the Off and Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. But most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yep. Recording this on March, is it the 6th? March 4th. Jesus. I've been writing the wrong dates all week. March 4th, 2024. Recording this at 4:17 p.m. Eastern. So, yes, it is a afternoon pod. Enjoying. I like having these Mondays off, you know. Mondays have the blues, but blue balls is... Not in the camera frame, because I would probably be blocked from the tube. Well, certain tubes, not this one. Well, this one, yes. Other tubes, not so much. Jesus, but yeah. Alright, guys. That was a great episode today. Nah, but you know what? There's a lot going out here. You know, there's a lot of characterizations, I would have to say. We have this weird obsession with wanting people to be happy, you know. I'm not going to get to happiness, right? But it's always uncomfortable. We always try to make people feel uncomfortable when they don't walk around and look happy, per se. And what I guess all I could say to those people is, if you were so happy, you wouldn't be so concerned whether other people are happy. You would just try to uplift those who you feel are not as happy. If you're happy and you know it, shut the fuck up. Beam, beam. Mr. Chime Time. One of my new favorite channels. I don't know what it is with this food and YouTube thing. Part of me gets annoyed how, like, this food YouTube thing, this, I don't want to even say food criticism, it's more like food reviews. And it's really just people on these YouTube shorts just eating takeout food. Like 85% of the time, it's just like generic In-N-Out versus Five Guys, Sonic versus gas station burgers. What's better? McDonald's. It's like, part of me feels like it's a saturated fatty field. And here I am giving you the unsaturated. But, you know, I don't see many trans doing YouTube shorts. Even with all the trans fat in it. I'm kidding. I don't even know why I said that. Oh, Jesus. But yeah, you know, part of me feels that it's getting a little too, like, people just copy and paste styles. Like, there's nothing original. I think that's kind of, but there's one that stands out in a good way. This guy named Mr. Chime Time. And I think he does it right. He typically, he stays in a city. He travels to cities. So, he'll, like, stay in a city for, like, undisclosed amount of time, like 3 weeks, month and a half. Because now he's built audience, he's making, you know, a good enough living where he's just like, he went to Detroit, I think, this past month. He went to, I think, some part in Texas, or he, I don't know if he's gone to Florida yet or something like that, but he's gone to, like, different, you know, pretty big cities, but a place where you could try more local, some more, like, regional stuff. And sometimes he will shit on them, like. And I think he has a great philosophy. Is like, if you give me, if he's reviewing it and you're just giving him some bullshit, like some canned food or some, like, bland ass, didn't put any effort into, like, a majority of your food, and that you could tell, and you're charging a premium price, he's gonna shit on you for it. Because, and a lot of criticism in terms of, like, news channels is like, you know, they want to get into, you know, it could be a little complicated because it's, you know, since he is black, you know, if he's covering a black-owned business, per se. And, you know, there's always a need to, you know, have to protect your own, in a sense. Especially when there's a constant feeling of being attacked or always feeling like giving the short end of the stick when it comes to business opportunities, stuff like that. And I think regardless of race, regardless of anything, I think the issue with that can be that, Clint's going to get dipping in the hot jacuzzi right now, is that sometimes it can create where it doesn't really open the real customer conversation of what the true experience of your restaurant. And if I have to just be grateful for the fact that, you know, it's representation of some sort, you know. And, like, if a food's not good and it's completely overpriced and it's unreasonable, like, if I pay $60 for something and you give me, like, a couple pieces of catfish and fries or whatever, And it's just like, eh, then you know what? Then that's what it is. And it doesn't give... Two things can be true, right? You want to be mindful of how what you say could be perceived and the impact it could have on a business. But at the same time, as he puts it, if you feed me a plate of shit and charge me $50, I'm not going to sit here and just be like, oh, this is okay because of fill in the blank. Like, at the end of the day, like, people as a customer, we sense when stuff is just not right with the pricing for what you get. When something was low effort put into. Like, no one made anyone open a business, right? So it could be a very tricky thing where you want to be understanding of, especially when you gain a certain audience, that the stuff you say can impact the business, especially if it's more local and stuff, but if you just give me, you know, and there could be bad days, you know, but it's like some of the stuff he's reviewing, this like 3-day old this, and he covers a multitude of different restaurants, big chains, you know, some relatively medium sized chains, the smaller chains, and like complete one off down in the dump spots, those hole in the wall spots that some of the most time are pretty good. But it's just that people give him criticism for being too harsh and for being too harsh on certain businesses because of the impact it can have, the negative impact. He's like, well, the way I look at it is like, you should have had more of a impact in how you were treating your food and cared more about the food you were putting out for the price you were putting it out for on top of that. Before it got to me, because I'm going to be as I'm going to be as caring of with your review, as caring as you were giving me this food. And I think that's really honestly the most fair thing you could do. There's ways where you could be honest about something, maybe some could be over the top of being bombastic with it for entertainment. Sure, but at the same time, it's regardless if I say this is the complete biggest dog shit I've ever had in my life, or, oh, this is like, they literally just did nothing to this shit. This shit is just not good. I'm saying the same thing. One's just a little bit more flavorful, even if you like to put flavor in some stuff as a restaurant. And yeah, that stuff can always be tricky, especially if you're dealing with like food truck businesses or hole in the wall spots. And because really the reality is like these big businesses, these McDonald's of the world, you know, they could have 10,000 reviews shitting on one product. Like, it's not, you know, they may just like, you know what, just for PR standpoint, we'll just get rid of the product or kind of re-improve the product, you know, and put a marketing thing behind it because they can afford to, but they'll be fine. They don't even have to change nothing and they're going to be a profitable business. So I understand the impact from that standpoint. But at the same time, if I go anywhere and I pay $40 for like some fried pork, some sides and shit, and then you just give me some canned this and I can tell it's canned, I get some mac and cheese that's been sitting out for like 10 hours, you could tell like it's unevenly seasoned. It's burnt in some parts. The noodles are burnt. But you're charging me $50 for this shit. I'm getting unseasoned fried pork. I'm thinking this one meal he has specific. Or this like Benihana hibachi food truck thing. And they're charging $55 for like this plastic container. Like the size of a plastic container I would have in my house. That I would use to bring food to work. And it's just like this hibachi filled of, you know, veggies, steak, shrimp, all this stuff. And so you're like, oh, it's on the go, you know, the yum yum sauce, all this stuff, and it's an okay amount of food. But then you start breaking down, he starts pouring, he's like, you know, it looks like a lot of fucking vegetables here. And he's portioning out all the shrimp, and it's like literally the equivalent of like 5 whole shrimp in that thing. And it's like barely any meat, it's mostly veggies. He's like, so I'm basically paying $55 for some mixed veggies, and you're gonna add some and you have five pieces of shrimp and then a couple cubes of like some steak or some shit. It's like, no, this is the type of shit where it's like, all right, I want to support your business, but at the same time, just give me what I pay for. If you're going to charge premium prices for your competition, your product better match your competition. Don't give me this bullshit veggies in a fucking plate. I'm not paying $55 for some sliced zucchini. Like, and I don't know, you know, I know it's a sensitive subject to talk about, but we do as people need to just have higher standards of what we accept from businesses that are advertising a certain thing. Like, for example, like, and at the same time as I'm watching, I sometimes I come across these freak out videos at these fast food places. Like, I saw one at Taco, there was one, I mean, it's probably from a few years ago, but this video online at Taco Bell. Is this woman and guy, it was kind of a funny dynamic because she paid for the meal, but he was up there and like, oh, you know, this isn't what I ordered, blah, blah, blah. And their complaint was, the food doesn't look like the advertisement, right? And everyone in there was like, shut the fuck up. Like, because they're making this big scene at Taco Bell. They're not complaining that an item, they got a wrong item. They're not, and I'm not saying you should accept shitty, just something that's completely some bullshit put together. But at the same time, we have accepted as people that Taco Bell, the standard we accept from them is very, you know, at best. Like, it varies. Like, we'll have a varying acceptability. Compared to if I go to a restaurant where I'm sitting down paying $32 for some pasta, there's going to be a very low variability swing where I'll be like, you know what, I'll eat this anyways. Compared to, nah, I'm going to actually send this back. This is some bullshit they just served me. Taco Bell is like, you basically have to, like, you know, drop a shit in my taco. There's got to be hair in my nacho fries. You got to have the whole filter system for the soda, not change out the soda twisters. Like, you know, the whole carbonation system's got to be fucked up. You got to be out of sauce packets. And even then, I just might be like, hey, you know what? Can I just get a side of spicy ranch? It'll fix all these problems. Just dip it in there. It'll be fine. You know, it's like, I feel like there's a difference between the people that just want to go somewhere to complain about. And then there are people who are like, it's weird to me that here's my, like, I actually believe that people hold lower tier, like fast food to like chainish restaurants, you know, the Chili's, Applebee's, all that. We hold those restaurants to a higher standard of being more difficult with our criticism than we do restaurants that we pay for and they deem to have more together, but they will underserve us, underportion us, charge half sandwiches, half portions and shit for basically the same price as full. And because we feel like we're eating and we're having a more exquisite dining experience, to hide behind the fact that we're just being served some mid to below average bullshit, that we just accept that, oh, this is just what you get for fine dining, you know? Then I'm paying this plus tip. And we're just cool with that because it's, oh, well, that's part of the experience. But with Taco Bell, we want to hold them to the standard of the pictures that are shown that literally say in text, enlarge to show texture. We want to hold them to a standard, cost freakouts, because it resonates to the lowest common denominator in society, which is like lower class, there's just like poor, low middle classish. So in those situations, when people feel that they have just a slight superiority of some sort, they cause the most havoc in those areas because it's the only places in their life where they have been told that they can be an absolute cunt to a full extent. I'm not talking about don't complain. I'm not talking about if something's wrong, don't have them fix it. But the way people go about it is sometimes is pretty insane to me. And I typically notice it's a pretty common denominator of people. Because if we're really, really being honest about it, most people that are making pretty damn good money aren't going to go inside of a Taco Bell in order, if we're going to be honest about it. And that is not really a money thing. It's just that if someone feels something is below their status, then you just won't go there. That's the crazy part to me. That's why it's always crazy to me when people say, I don't eat, like, oh, I'm better than this and all. It's like, but you eat there every other week. Like, I'm not eating. It's like, oh, I'm more than this. It's like, you're literally working there. You can't say you're above somewhere that you're working at. It's crazy to me. If you were above it, you would just be able to leave that job and be okay, right? But I don't know. It's almost like that transitioned smoothly. And there's this viral deadbeat dad that's not really a deadbeat dad. But it's amazing how, it's amazing what the internet can do with this stuff. Because it could cause a world storm. So essentially this like girl in her young 20s, mid 20s, made a video in passing about her father, who she called basically like he was a deadbeat dad. He was married to her mom. They divorced like in early mid 2005, 6 or some shit. You guys know the breakdancing dad, right? It's this viral situation. Like the big commentary channels have covered it, right? Basically making a video saying, oh, isn't it funny? He left my mom so he could break dance and all this stuff. Now he does this. Oh, he never paid for this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then made a second video, I guess, following up, going more in details of stuff he didn't really cover. And he basically just came out with all the receipts like, yeah, look, yeah, those medical expenses you were talking about that I wouldn't cover in college were because you wanted to go to grief counseling because your boyfriend broke up with you. And I don't care how much money I have. I'm not paying for grief counseling because your boyfriend left you in college. And this man has paid millions of dollars over the years in alimony, child support, health insurance. Even paid her like $5,000+ to help her start up moving to California to, you know, for her screenwriting career and all that stuff. And she actually had a job, the writer's strike, and then now she's causing this because she wants to be kind of, you know, clout chasing in a way. And, you know, it's kind of like, I do think it's kind of full circle. Like, it kind of is pretty, not ironic, because I think that's an overused term. It is very interesting how she's a screenwriter, you know, wants to write stories and all that stuff. And since the writer's strike, she got fired, laid off, which is unfortunate. And now she's kind of creating her own online story. You see where I'm getting at here? I know it's kind of weird coming from a person who does a podcast, who puts everything out there, who does screenwrite from time to time. Not as much as I used to, but I really need to get back into it. But I'm very self-aware of not trying to make some clout chasing story. I would never, because like even if I had the same situation with a parent of mine, like a dad or a mom, whichever situation it would be, I would just never make a random video talking about that, because at the end of the day, once you get to a certain age, it kind of becomes a pathetic excuse. Because you know what, let's just say what she is saying is true, right? Let's say her dad was a deadbeat, which all the receipts show wasn't a deadbeat. It was a simple situation of divorced parents. And he even showed, oh, he was never there. And he literally has videos of him spending time with her, going to all of her graduations, spending personal time together. And I know that doesn't mean everything, but she really made it like he was never in their life type of thing. He's like, no, that's not the case. Like, other kids make time to visit me. You just never make time to visit me. You know, you're a grown adult, you know. I've got to work on is making more time to make, not that you don't make time for your parents and stuff, but sometimes it's like you kind of just be accustomed to, they always reach out to you. And I realize the older I get, I need to be more grown adult about making that effort myself, you know. And, you know, that's one of those things that, that is one part I took for that. Like, you know, you have to make that same effort. It's not just your parents that have to reach out for you to make time, to spend time together, to see each other all day. You got to make that effort too, you know. They got lives too. You got a life. You got to make that same effort. You know, it's like with friendships. You got to make that same effort to make time. And that's something I've really been thinking about a lot past couple. Making more time for, you know, long friends I haven't hung out with in a while, blah, blah, blah. I know I'm starting to sound gay here, but I mean that in an endearing way, by the way. But anyways, but yeah, look, let's just say, honestly, and this is why, like, I get so turned off hearing, I don't know what the age is where it starts to become a pathetic excuse. I'll give you to like 25, right? And even then, I think that may be stretching a little. I think you have until 25 to use the, my dad was in my life, my dad was a deadbeat excuse to rationalize things and the shit on them. Like, if they're not saying shit publicly about anything, there's really no need, because at the end of the day, it's like, it's just really not, you're not solving anything. It's not, you're not going to get a, like, oh, that's so unfortunate to hear. You just need some therapy. I got better help for you if you use my discount for 30%. You know, that type of shit. But, and I also think, I'm going to be honest, this is kind of an unpopular opinion. I believe that the medical field, psychologists, psychiatrists, from a young age, young people that come from unideal situations sometimes, from black and father homes to, you know, whatever, I think they have all, they try to feed in this built-in excuse all the time, where you try to focus and magnify the having a deadbeat father or having a, you know, mother that was like this or a weird home situation. Like, there are, like, and I'm not saying that shouldn't be a factor, but I think when you see the grown-ass people that are always reticent and talking about it and holding on to it, it's like, if you just spent half of that time focusing on the things that would actually improve your life and better your life and just be the example for what you want your kids to be, or be the figure that you never had and be that example if you truly want different. But psychiatrists kind of want you to have this built-in excuse that, oh, you know, it's because you had a you had an absent father, you had a alcoholic mother, you had this. Oh, it's because, you know, you weren't given all the tools for this. And it's always this built-in entitlement excuse. And I honestly think psychiatrists, therapy, to an extent, too much of it at a young age. Therapy should be used to kind of understand what you're going through, but not to have it as this built-in excuse. And I believe that's a lot more of what we're seeing. It's a lot more of people just want to have built-in excuses for, so when things hit the, when shit hits the fan, they can make these videos like this and think they're actually being logical. It's like you are literally, as a grown-ass person, are still asking for financial support to great extents. I'm not talking about like, hey, you know, something happened this month, just have this to cover and then I got you. Like, I'm talking about, like, she's asking for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because she mismanaged her expectations for herself, if we're going to be honest. And parents aren't there. They're not supposed to be there to be your financial bailout for things. They are not. They are not there to be a crutch. It's like, if they're able to help you, that's great. But you should not hold something against family members or friends for not being able to bail you out of situations that you single-handedly got yourself in more times than not. And it's just crazy to me how there was actually a defense from a big one-sided. It's the same people that always have this one-sided comment. They all just pile up. I do believe these commentary channels, and I'll call them out. And I haven't watched, but I know the commentary channels that kind of side with each other. The Curtis Connors, the Drew Goodens, the Chad to an extent, but I actually like her channel. I actually think she's entertaining, well-rounded. Nick is not green, you know, on a slightly smaller level compared to these guys. They all just, I know they have their own opinions, but they all typically lean on the same side and just try to spread the same buzz terms, misogyny. You know, they use terms like the hierarchy, the patriarchy, for reasons like, what dad goes online to shit on their daughter is like, what daughter goes online to shit on their father who was just minding his business? Like, you know, she's a grown, this isn't like some 15-year-old kid that's making these videos, you know. She's a grown-ass adult. It's not okay for her to be making these videos and then her father's not able to respond because he's supposed to be a bigger person. He's like, nah, like, you're not going to sit here and just be out here calling me a deadbeat when I paid millions and millions of fucking dollars to financially support you. You know, like, fuck that shit, you know. And that's the thing, like, these divorces sometimes in these situations, they are designed to keep men silent. They're designed to basically, it's the only way you can kind of make a man, make a person bend to your will is kind of make them, put them in this situation where if you don't do X, Y, and Z, we're going to put you out there and put you this label that will automatically make you disrespected by anyone in any community, man, woman, child. You don't take care of your children, which is like one of the biggest insults, one of the biggest marks you have in your name, your reputation. You don't take care of your children. Like, that's one of those things, like, you will automatically lose respect, and you understand that label. So any decent man tries to avoid, even when they can't really afford it, to be able to, you know, take care of that. But, so if you're going out here basically calling me a deadbeat, and I know everything I fucking contributed to, like, not fuck you, like, fuck you to my kid, but, you know, I'm going to make sure I have no problem, you know, and, you know, me and the lady, we've been, you know, talking about these situations we see online, like, oh, she always asks me, what would you do if your kid did X, Y, and Z, or what would you do in his situation? She's like, you really just like talk to your kid like that? I'm like, yeah. You know, you need to talk to your kid. The older your kid gets, you need to talk to your child the same way someone else in real life, if they were to communicate or do something to them, how that person would approach them and how that person may react to that, because you don't want these kids, you don't want your kid walking around thinking that they're these Jack Doherty's of the world going around thinking they could go around a mall bumping into people and nothing would happen. Like, you nip that shit in the bud early on in the process, so they don't go around doing this stupid shit. Like, you know what? All I know is, like, if my son, if he were to ever go online and call me a deadbeat, he better be ready that daddy's coming with the receipts. Because I would probably let it go. Like, if it's something like you can't even take serious and everyone knows, like, but put your son, like, you can't just be lying on shit and think that shit's like normal, cool. Like, I will fuck you up. Not literally, you know, like, I'm not gonna beat the shit out of my kid. But, you know, you got my genes, all right? I got all of my genes. You got half of me and half of your mom. You're half pussy and half me. All right. You ain't all of me. I'm all of me. All right. I'm the Drake. I'm the 2 Chainz, Big Sean. Who was the other one in all of me? I think those are the three. For some reason, I think Kendrick was in all of me. Yeah. But look, moral of all that is stop, you know, and so essentially, I guess my summary of all that is we are kind of fruition to have these built-in excuses. And that's when you get these videos of blaming your parents for everything or blaming other people for shit. It's like, you know, and you know, sometimes you gotta talk to your kid like, I hope you know, like, if you were to be saying this shit out here, someone might come up to you and just smack the shit out of you. And I might smack the shit out of you, but someone might smack the shit out of you, you know, have no regards for you. So, and I've only smacked my son, by the way. I just realized, I know we're talking about a girl here. I wouldn't smack my daughter. I'll leave that to the wife. Smackaroo. You know, I say that. I honestly don't think I would ever, like, physically altercate with my kid, you know. At least not to that extent. Like, I just think, like, obviously, you have to worry about legal stuff of even if he didn't do anything that physically harmed them. But, you know, just the idea of being physically aggressive with your kid that's not in a combat or sports type of way. It's a very fine line. And they go around to their friends and then they tell their parents and all of a sudden child services come to your house and, you know, you get labels and shit. So, I don't know. I like to say it, but at the same time, it's weird because I think when you have your child, like, it's a little harder. Like, everyone says what they would do if their kid were to do X, Y, and Z. But at the same time, when it's your kid, you're a lot more compassionate. You're a lot more... Because even the dude said, like, I don't want you guys to bash on her in her video. Because if it was just, like, a random-ass person on the internet, he probably wouldn't give up. But that still is his daughter. Regardless of all this shit she's putting out about his character and all this stuff, he's still like, I don't want the bash. That's her perspective. That's her truth. But this is like what really happened. Bring all the heat towards me. Don't bring it towards her. You know? And so it still is different, right? Like, you don't want to be like DDG, by the way. Because there's a flip side of that, you know? There's this podcaster. I think his name was Elliot Schaefer. And so DDG, I know, this is like basically the drama report. DDG, who is the, I don't know if husband, but the boyfriend, the partner of Hallie. Is that Hallie Bailey? Haley Bailey? Hallie. Yeah, basically, you know, the Little Mermaid. So this guy, here's where sometimes people get a little too over their skis in this podcasting thing, right? They get a little too, I'm just going to say some wild shit. This man literally put up a picture of E.T. comparing it to a picture of Halle Berry, like, on a red carpet. She had her hair a certain way where, you know, it didn't really look all resemblance to E.T., but it was brown, so it kind of, like, was the same color as E.T., whatever. And he compared it to her and basically said, when did Hollywood get so ugly? I was like, oh. There's a layer thing, this guy's, you know, you're going to deal with a lot of can of worms. For one, there's the race aspect, if we're just going to be honest. It's this white podcaster, basically, talking about calling any woman ugly as a podcaster could be very touchy subject. But a woman who's one, who's a Hollywood darling in a sense, no one really has anything bad to say about her. She seems like a likable person. She just had a child. She's brought a child into this world on top of that. She seems like she's got a very supporting family. And Her boyfriend's DDG. All right. all right. So this man DDG, he went in. So Scott Schaefer, dude, I guess he used to work for Glenn Beck, who's a former political TV person, but now he has his own, like, you know, podcast and network, or just media network, whatever you want to call it. He used to work for Glenn Beck, and all this stuff came out because this guy put this shit out there. Because you decide to attack, and DDG put all this shit out here, and everyone did all of their digging up on you. And this dude got fired from the Glenn Beck network probably months ago or a year ago or so for, quote unquote, groping a lady employee, right? Now, he has come out and said, anyone that puts out these false allegations of me, you will be sent with a, you know, I will strike you to YouTube or Twitter. And if they don't do anything, I will be legally coming after you for defamation. When it's like, people are looking up, it's like, bro, there's like 20 articles about this shit. And saying something is believed to be true is not illegal. Saying something is definite to be true, saying you were legally charged with something that you weren't, that's where people get in trouble. It's like, people are just saying, like, this dude was fired for groping a woman. And it's funny, he's all in the defense about this. It's like, okay, but that's one thing. But basically what DDG did, this dude... It's kind of foul, but at the same time, it's once you start criticizing the appearance of one man's wife or girlfriend or one's mother, hey, you gotta be ready for whatever comes your way. You can't have boundaries there. You can't start like, hey man, you know, you're taking it too far. Because once you open that can of worms, man, you gotta deal with whatever comes with it, or you just gotta throw hands. All right. Twitter hands. And DDG basically posted a picture of this man's. I guess there's a graduation picture of him and his mom. And, you know, his mom, unfortunately, passed away, I guess, not too long ago or whatever. But when that picture was taken, you know, I mean, I don't think she looked that bad. You know, she looked like an older woman. But she obviously probably had some work done. Apparently, she battled some cancer, and she has some facial surgeries for because of her sickness and stuff. So, it kind of made things may look a little different. But this man, DDG, went in on it. Like, made a few posts of specific about her, calling her this, that, and the ugly. What? And look, I is it immature? Sure. But at the same time, you can't really ostracize one without the other, right? Like, this dude didn't just say, like, oh, your girl's just kind of like, oh, is she overrated in terms of attraction? Like, oh, like, if he would just say something like, you know, Halle Berry, she's just, honestly, I don't get it. She's not that attractive. Let's just say he were to say that. Most people would disagree and probably say some shit, you know, oh, is this, that, and the other. But you went to the extent comparing her to a 1988 extra on E.T. looking and say, when did Hollywood become so ugly? Making her the poster child of ugly, right? And then you want to be on the defensive about X, Y, and Z. And people want to say white fragility, all this stuff. And hey, I don't know. That's out of my scope. I think it's more just a general of people want to say shit. People want to be very crude online, be very mean, and not deal with what comes with that. If you were going to be that and just make these statements for attention, because let's be honest, like, he probably made because he knew it would get some attraction or clout. He probably just didn't think that DDG, the actual partner of her, the actual father of this woman's child, would be out here putting his mom's face on a blunt. Literally. I mean, this dude went in on this guy. And ironically, in the Twitter, like, his network that he works for is called uncensored.tv. It's like, It's funny, he wants to be all this, but then when people start, you know, attacking him, being uncensored about how crude they could be to him, he wants to strike him, report him, lawyers, defamation, accusation, like, he wants to threaten people with, I'll bring my lawyers. It's like, you cannot sit here and talk about being uncensored, being this free-spoken person, be very X, Y, like, you're not the only one that can speak out and be crude about things, right? It's the internet. And then when someone starts retaliating and respond to you, say, oh no, you got to be censored towards my feelings. Like, I'm not saying a man's right for, you know, putting your, you know, your mother who passed away, your dead mother on blast, calling her this and that, all that stuff. But at the same time, you can't get your tampon, you know, squeezed out because you literally kind of started it and it was very unprovoked, uncalled for. And you can't be mad. This isn't just like some random social media, you know, burner accounts or just fans. This is the actual source of someone who's personally affected. Like, if you say it, here's the thing, right? Here's where you gotta be careful about doing anything you put out there for consumption. If you were gonna talk about individuals, situations, you gotta be okay that if the people, anyone who's directly involved with that situation, is the individual person or a family member or someone who works with that person, you gotta be willing to be okay that people may respond to you. Like, this isn't a, I know we've created this bubble that anything is possible. We can all just talk whatever about whoever, whenever, but that's just not how this stuff works. But yeah, that's all I got. Jesus, this battery dying quicker and quicker by the day. Alright guys, that was episode 268 of the Off the Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeet. Yep, that is how we do it. Yeah, so guys, yeah, don't forget, shut the fuck up about some things. It's okay, you know. Oh, I'm so sorry. This is how we do it. It's Friday night. Alright guys, have a great day, night, evening, and don't forget. Ooh, look at the biceptual. Alright, have a great day.